Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On Thursday of this week, I was invited to preach at the service of Prayer for Christian Unity. And we gathered at the Cathedral, Our Lady of Peace Co-Cathedral on Bishop Square downtown. And, it was supposed to be our bishop who was going to preach, but he was in Southeast Asia. So they settled on me. And as I stood there and I looked out over the crowd, I was thinking about, so this is what Christian unity looks like. 26 pastors, 24 parishioners, and those that had hair were gray. Except for one kid, well, two kids who were acolytes and one poor kid who I think was there for the dinner afterwards. Christian unity. And I thought about the fact that we've been talking about Christian unity for a couple of thousand years. And now we're down to once a year, we trot out the service of prayer for Christian unity, where we all come together and say, welcome. For one day. And then we spend the next 365 days defining why we don't like each other. It's not very unifying and certainly not very welcoming. Well, today for us is Welcoming Sunday, a day in which we remember the gospel to which we have been called as Christ's people and Christ's body. And I wonder if maybe it's time to move past the illusion of unity or past the illusion of welcome and begin to ask some hard questions of ourselves and our community and the world. Well, in the gospel lesson, Jesus stands up. This is early in his ministry in the fourth chapter of Luke. Jesus stands up in the synagogue. They ask him to read. And he turns to that wonderful reading from Isaiah. And he opens it up and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of Jubilee." As you listen to those words of Isaiah, you see an incredible expansiveness in God's vision that may or may not be reflected in the church. Now imagine Jesus standing up in the middle of the synagogue. But he doesn't say, "God has anointed me to say to all of you, I'm really glad that you're here, and you should bring more people like you to be here with us, and we'll call it the church." Jesus announces what God is doing in the world, and then calls us to be about that business. Well, for us, how have we lived that out in the church these days? And in a couple minutes, we're going to do an experiment. And if it works, it was my idea. If it doesn't work, it was Pastor Angela's idea. But if we take seriously the gospel, and if we take seriously what Paul is saying, then being a welcoming people is not much of an option. For Paul, the church looks a certain way, and he uses this imagery of the human body to talk about the body of Christ, right? It's a wonderfully fleshy way of talking about things. And Paul, in his usual sort of way, especially in Corinthians, he says, there is this body that God has made, and just because something doesn't want to be a part of the body doesn't mean it's not part of the body. I have this image of Gary Larson being, Paul's cartoonists, right? You know, if you know who Gary Larson is, I could just see it. The body of Christ is a big eyeball rolling down the hill. Paul says, look, just because someone doesn't want to be a part of the body doesn't mean that they're not part of the body. If a hand says, look, I don't want to be part of your body, the hand is stuck, still part of the body. And if the foot should say to the eye, we don't need orbits like you, it doesn't have a choice. The eye is still part of the body. All together, part of the body, welcomed into the one body of Christ. But historically, that's not how we've worked, right? I'll just use Lutheranism as my own, bless you, one more time. Bless you. I'll use Lutheranism as my own model. Most Lutheran ohanas, most Lutheran churches gathered around what? Food. We have music. We must food. We got coffee. We got Lutherans. No. Ethnic. Mostly ethnic stuff, right? I remember my first parish was in Athol, Kansas, and it was the German Lutherans who came from the Volga area in Russia and came and settled in that area. And they didn't want any real Germans there, so it was just those kind of semi-Germans, right? And they didn't really trust the real Germans who settled over in Smith Center. Or maybe, you know, the Norwegians found their place to settle. We gathered around a kind of homogeneity, ethnically, idealistically, theologically. We wanted to be with people who looked and sounded and prayed and knew when to stand up and sit down. Did you catch that in Nehemiah? You wondered where liturgical yoga came from? Nehemiah. And the people stood up and then they sat down and then they laid down and then they stood up and everybody was happy. You didn't know that's where that was from, did you? But seriously, Christians have often gathered around, let's get people who are like us, and let's honor God together. So it's sort of like you have the Norwegians who are worshiping over here. They're the feet. And then you have the Germans, and, well, they're the left cheek. And then you have the Hungarians, they're the nose, you know. Each ethnic group sort of finding its own way, or well, you have, somebody pointed out in the first service, well, you have the liberals, they're over at LCH, and then you have, except for the ones who aren't, and then you have the Republicans who are over there, and then you have, well, the libertines, they're at Fritz's house. Anyway, that's how it all works. But in this vision of how God's justice is going to unfold, there has to be the whole body. And there's nothing homogeneous about the body if the body is a reflection of the world. But we've become so comfortable with just hanging out with our own little body parts that it seems okay. But I wonder if that is the vision that God has for being a welcoming place. So here's the experiment. It's your fault. Take a couple of minutes among yourselves. Oh my gosh. Big deep breath. It's okay. I feel heartbeat starting to quicken a little bit. He's going to make us do something in worship. Yeah. Be a body. It's okay. Take a couple of minutes and talk with the people around you, not just your spouse or your partner or fellow choir member. I suppose that'd be okay. Talk for a couple of minutes about which part of the body is not here today or in this community. Or what part of the body isn't even part of Christianity in any meaningful way anymore? So it's a question about who are, not only who are we not reaching, but who just isn't here today, and then sort of why? I want you to wonder about that for just a minute. Begin. Okay, about 10 seconds, see if you can wind up your conversation. So what did you find? What did you find? You guys look like you were talking. Who's not here? How are we not being welcoming? You can never shut the choir up. They'll never stop. Homeless people, one of the groups we don't see much here to this morning. 30-somethings. I don't know, how many 30-somethings there are in the room? Close, but no cigar. Also, what else did you say? Teenagers. Yeah, in the there's a couple there, yeah. Just made it over. In the first service, my son stood up and he said, "People my age." And I said, they're all in the choir. Boy, what did you say?
Local folk,
yeah, yeah. She said the answer was that everybody needs to make mixed race babies. And then that would solve everything. You've done your part. Thank you. I'd say keep it up, but I think that would be inappropriate. Anyway, other groups that we don't see here. Tourists, not so much. We see a few. Yeah, we have some tourists. Are you a tourist? We couldn't tell. Welcome. I went out to eat Thai food the other day, and they said, "Oh, where are you here from?" And I said,
"Australia,
3 blocks away." And they said, "Dressed like a tourist. Welcome. From Germany?" My wife is full-blood German, so I get to make fun of the Germans.
Conservatives.
But you know, you never know. They could be lurking around anywhere. See, it's like liberals, you know. You can't tell by the clothes they wear. Bill, nothing? Not too many Hungarians, I know. What did you say? Oh, the sleepy people. We know that's true at the 8 o'clock because they wake up halfway through. Any other groups? Yeah. Atheists. I've said that for years. Where are the atheists when it comes to church? No, but you're right. It's the, do we really welcome people who aren't sure, you know, or do you have to know? Do you? Well, all right, half the choir. Half the choir are atheists. We'll keep working on them. Jesus, J-U-S-U-S. Yeah, we'll keep working on it. Well, see, I guess I wanted to do this exercise. It's Angela's idea. Because so often as a congregation, we sort of live out the myth that we're a very welcoming place. And in many ways, we are. I mean, we worked out some things 20 years ago. We decided that people who were gay, lesbian, transgendered, all of those kind of folks were welcome. And we were one of the first congregations to be out in that way, and we continue to be very out in that way. And yet, we're not there yet in our proclamation of bringing sight to the blind, to living out that vision of God for a church that we certainly can't meet all needs of every person in the world. That's not what we're here for. But what we are here to do is to live out the Spirit of God not only in welcome, but in love. And to do that, we have to see where we've set the chairs up that we don't even know we've set up, right? You know, I've told you this story before, but for the sake of you who aren't here all the time, we did a fair a few years back over at McKeeke Park, which is just a quarter of a mile away. It's a community park, and it was a community fair. And all these people were coming through, and we had our banner out, and Miss Peggy was running around putting lay on people. And they would say, "Oh, well, where's your church?" And I would say, "Oh, well, we're at the corner of Dominus and Punahou, about a block and a half away." And they would say, "There's a church there?" And I would say, "Yes." And they'd say, "I don't think so." And I said, "It looks like a prison." "Oh, yes, we know that place. We didn't know that was open." You know, so there's this perception. We don't really serve our neighborhood in a substantive way. we have a lot of work to do to remind young people that they're welcome. Today in our adult class, we watched a video by Alan Hirsch who said, you know, we're really good at being an attractive church, but not so good at being sent. The future of the church, a future of our welcome, may not be rooted in getting people to come here and be like us, whatever that is. The future of bringing sight to the blind, living out that vision of Isaiah, and bringing the welcome of God may be actually in being sent to where the rest of the world may be, to bring that comfort and that joy and that message of Jesus Christ and the Jubilee of God into places that make us really uncomfortable. Wow, well, that's a different vision of what it means to be welcoming then, isn't it? It means that we have work to do not only in removing the barriers which help people to feel unwelcome here, but also to going out into the world where we feel there are barriers for us. And yet that's what God calls us to and sends us to as God's people. So, as I reflect one last time on the service of prayer for Christian unity, I noticed something that was missing from there, which was young people. Because they're not interested in Christian unity, by the way, it turns out. In fact, if our choir is any indicator, they're apparently not interested in Christ at all. I'm just kidding. Only a few. No, I'm just kidding. But the bottom line is that young people have a different conversation in which we need to engage. The world is having a different conversation about what's going on into which we are being drawn. And we have a wonderful and powerful witness to bring to that conversation that God's love is indeed for all people. It's not restricted by the color of our skin or our sexual preference or our ethnicity or even, Lord forbid, our denomination. It expands beyond all of that, where God truly is bringing justice and mercy and love. Amen.
Amen.